The following program is produced by the Living Church of God.
It's wake-up time for the United States and Canada. Several forces are now coming together, my friends, to bring about catastrophe on our nations. We all need to realize where world events are headed, and there is a great purpose in our coming national trials that very, very few really understand. Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith describes what's ahead for America and Britain. Dr. Roderick C. Meredith.
During World War II, Sir Winston Churchill stated to the American Congress, "There is a great design and purpose being worked out here below." My friends, Sir Winston certainly implied that a higher power was working out that great purpose. One of the proofs of the reality of God is biblical prophecy. Often decades or even centuries ahead of time, the great God prophesied the rise and fall of major cities and major nations, and his prophecies always came to pass. God's inspired word specifically predicted the rise and the fall of ancient Egypt, of Babylon, of Rome, and of the destruction of the city of Jerusalem in 70 A.D. Notice what your Bible says. I want to ask all of you and challenge you. In fact, if you have a Bible handy, go get it. Pick it up. Don't be afraid of it. It won't bite. Get your Bible. Check up on me. Prove what I have to say out of your Bible. This program specifically will mean a lot more to you if you follow me in your Bible. I'm turning near the end of your New Testament to 2 Peter, the second epistle of Peter, chapter 1, and beginning in verse 19. We also have the prophetic word made more sure, Peter says here, or as the King James has it, the sure word of prophecy. I kind of like that wording a little bit better. The sure word of prophecy, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Yes, God's prophecy is sure. The great Creator guides world events. He guides the attitudes and He guides even the decisions of great world leaders. He is the one who intervenes in the rise and fall of nations. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, Peter continues, for prophecy never came by the will of man. Man didn't just dream up these things out of his imagination. This book contains inspired words from God Almighty, who's going to control the events of the future. And these events will affect your lives powerfully, my friends. Please understand that. We're talking about reality here. We're not talking about sitting in church. We're not playing church. We're talking about what the great God is about to do to affect America, Britain, Canada, the English-speaking peoples of the world, and the entire earth over the next 5 to 15 or 20 years. That great God will intervene. And notice what it says. Prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. God Almighty inspired these men to write these things in the Bible. And we need to understand that and heed that from God Almighty. Turn back to the Old Testament for a moment now, to the book of Daniel, chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4, and I'm going to just break into the thought for the sake of time. Beginning in verse 17, God had already shown how he was going to humble Nebuchadnezzar for 7 years and sort of banish him for a while, for 7 years to humble him. This decision is by decree of the watchers and the sentence by the word of the holy ones, in order that the living, notice, that the living may know that the Most High, the great God, the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever He will and sets over it the lowest of men. Yes, God Almighty is in charge, and He's often in charge even of those who are leading our peoples. We've seen that we've often had leaders who are very degenerate, frankly abominable in certain cases. We've had Adolf Hitler's. We've had Benito Mussolini's. We've had Joseph Stalin's. And we've had leaders in this country of whom we're ashamed. We know that. And sometimes we get what we deserve, don't we? Think about it. Sometimes we get what we deserve. But what does God say about modern America, Canada, and Britain? What does He say about our future? We're among the major nations of this earth. Would God leave us out of His prophecies? There are prophecies about Egypt, we know, and about Babylon that other people talk about. But most so-called Bible students and ministers have no idea about the prophecies regarding America and Britain. Would God leave our major nations out? No way! The key is to understand our national origins, my friends. What does God talk to us? How does God talk to us in Bible prophecy? How does He refer to us? Do you realize that the Anglo-Saxon Celtic peoples of Britain, America, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and South Africa are the descendants of the so-called lost 10 tribes of Israel? Yes, they are. That's not some odd idea. You can prove that. People like to make fun of that sometimes, but that can be proved if you're willing to open your mind and look at the proof and see what is going to happen and is about to happen and is beginning to happen right now, as a matter of fact. Notice some of the prophecies of the Bible about this very thing. Notice what they foretold. Let's turn back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. The Eternal God said to Abram, "Get out of your country." He told Abraham to leave everything he'd ever known. "Get out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house and go to a land that I will show you." He's talking about national events now. "I will make you a great nation. I will bless you." He didn't say He would just bring forth the Messiah. He said, "I will make you a great nation." This is not all just about Christ at all. Yes, it includes that, but notice what God specifically says. "I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." And frankly, even that latter verse is dual. It certainly refers to the Messiah, my friends, but is also talking about a great peoples at the time of the end who have been a blessing to the other nations of the earth. And many do not understand that, but that is the truth. Notice in Genesis chapter 13 now, the very next chapter, Genesis 13, and after Abraham had separated from Lot, he'd given Lot the chance to have the better part of the deal, as we know, the better part of the land. He'd been generous. Abraham was a magnanimous man and had the heart of God. He was a giver, not a getter, and God blessed him. And so God then comes right in here and blesses him and said to Abraham, Genesis chapter 13, verse 14, He said, "Lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward," in other words, all over the world, look all over, "for all the land which you see I will give to you and your descendants." Does that sound like some spiritual blessing? You spiritualize it away? No. He's talking about land. He says, "I'm going to give you the land all over this earth," when you really see it to its full, and you turn to Romans 4 in the New Testament, and you find that Abraham was promised the whole world. That's what it says, and this is the beginning of that promise. "For all the land which you see I will give to you and your descendants forever, and I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth." Billions of people ultimately down through time. "So that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then your descendants shall be numbered." That's an awesome promise, my friends, but it's there, and it's in your Bible and has always been there. Notice Genesis chapter 22 now. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 22. I think we know this tremendous story here about how Abraham, the father of the faithful, was willing to give his son Isaac and to sacrifice his son Isaac because he knew that that God was real. He knew that the real God was there. He was talking to that spirit personality who is the Lord and giver of life. And so he was willing to do that. After he proved his willingness to make that supreme sacrifice as a type of God giving his son, because Abraham here was definitely a type of God, then God said, this is verse 15 now of Genesis 22, "Then the angel of the Eternal spoke to Abraham," probably this was the person of Jesus Christ, the Logos back in the Old Testament, calling out, "By myself I have sworn, says the Eternal, because you've done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, in blessing I will bless you, in multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand of the sea on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies." What are you talking about, gate? Gate is a national entrance, of course, and back in ancient times it might have been a mountain pass or something, but modern gates include mainly sea gates that have had any importance, and Bab el Mandeb is a word that is used for the southern entrance to the Red Sea. That's right, the southern entrance to the Red Sea is called Bab el Mandeb, and Bab and Bab in the Hebrew language and the Arabic language are about the same here. Bab el Mandeb, if you check that up with some expert, he will acknowledge that. That talk is talking specifically about a sea gate. The Bab el Mandeb is a big sea gate in, separating the Red Sea from the Arabian Sea, and in the northern entrance, of course, to the Red Sea, we have the Suez Canal. And so the Suez Canal was included here. In modern times, it has become a great sea gate. What happened to it? Well, I think you know, it was given originally to Britain. And the Bab el Mandeb was controlled originally by Britain. And, of course, Singapore and the Malacca Straits were controlled by Britain. And Gibraltar and the Falkland Islands controlling the tip around South America. And the Great Sea Gate, because Britain controlled South Africa. And the Big Sea Gate controlling that, the Big Sea Base, was controlled by Britain as well. What's happened? Those sea gates have begun to be taken away one by one, but they were given primarily to Britain and America, and the Panama Canal, one of the greatest sea gates in all the world, was given to the United States of America, and we were blessed with that. We were able to move our big ships back and forth through that in time of war. It saved us a lot of trouble, and yet we gave that up under the administration of President Carter, and now recently the last American troops were pulled out of the canal zone. But we may need that gateway in the future for commerce and certainly to move our naval forces, our depleted naval forces, from one ocean to another. But now we've given it up. God gave it to us for a long time, the gate of our enemies. So we need to realize this promise, this wonderful promise. Notice back in chapter 24 of Genesis. Genesis 24, and I'm going to begin reading here a little bit about the promise to Rebekah. In verse 59 of Genesis 24, so they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servants and his men, and they blessed Rebekah. Now, God put this in here as something that obviously he was behind. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, our sister, may you become the mother of thousands of ten thousands. In other words, of millions of human beings. Millions of human beings. And may your descendants possess the gates. This time it's plural. Gates of those who hate them. God repeats that promise twice about the gates of our enemies. So we need to realize we've been given those great gates, but now, because we've turned away from God, those great gates are beginning to be taken away. And that's something we have to think about very soberly. Let's turn now to Genesis chapter 49. Genesis chapter 49. And here we find Jacob, the great patriarch Jacob, as he was dying, beginning to bless his sons at the end of an age. Verse 1, Jacob called his sons and said, gather together that I may tell you what shall befall you in the last days. These things were to happen in the last days, our day, just before the coming of Christ to this earth. Gather together and hear, you sons of Jacob, hear, you listen, you Israel, listen to your father. Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might, the beginning of my strength and excellency, the dignity of power. Unstable as water, you shall not excel. He said, you shall not excel because you went up your father's bed. We know that the nation of Reuben today is in northwestern Europe, and they have not excelled. Then you defiled it. He went up to my couch. He puts one or two verses now describing each one of the nations of Israel, the sons of Jacob, the tribes of Israel. In verse 21, Naphtali is a deer let loose. He gives goodly words, probably modern Sweden, giving the Nobel Prize. That's all he has here, just one little tiny verse. But notice beginning verse 22. Notice, my friends, this is awesome. Suddenly he turns to Joseph, the son of Jacob, and who had been given the birthright, of course, because of certain things that you read in this story, and you'll get information about this in a moment to understand the whole thing. He had sons called Ephraim and Manasseh, Joseph did, who are our ancestors. He says, Joseph is a fruitful bough, but well, his branches run over the wall. The archers have hated him. The nations have been jealous of us. They've been grieved at him, and so on. He says, verse 25, by the God of your father who will help you, and by the Almighty who will bless you with blessings of heaven above, with blessings of the deep that lies beneath. He says, I'm going to bless you and bless you. Blessings of the breasts and of the womb, happy, healthy children. The blessings of your father have excelled the blessings of my ancestors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph. These awesome blessings. Verse after verse describing the tremendous blessings that are coming upon one peoples at the time of the end, the latter days. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him who was separate from his brethren. Remember how Joseph was separate from his brethren and even went down into Egypt, was sold into slavery. And America and Britain have been separate from the other Israelitish people, frankly, the other descendants of the lost 10 tribes who've lived on the continent in northwestern Europe, but Britain was separated by the, of course, the English Channel, and the United States, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, separated by thousands of miles of seas. Yet God has given us all these blessings. No one else even comes close. Think about it. Please think about it, my friends. No other nations even come close. We, along with the peace-loving nations of Western Europe, are the descendants of the so-called lost 10 tribes of Israel. We are the peoples of Israel. We are the people that have been given these blessings. At this point, I urge you to write or call today for our powerful and our inspiring booklet on this very topic. It will give you biblical and historical proof of our national origins. This brand new booklet, just coming off the press, What's Ahead for America and Britain, will be sent to you absolutely free upon your request. No charge, no follow-up.
This informative booklet is offered to you absolutely free without any cost or obligation if you call 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or write to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304. San Diego, California, 92150. That phone number again is 1-800-934-5579.
Now back to our topic. We were talking about these awesome prophecies affecting the future of America and Britain and what God said and about our blessings, our power, our wealth at the time of the end. Notice in this tremendous prophecy we've just been reading here in Genesis 49 and verse 26, Jacob blessed his sons, and especially Joseph, saying, the blessings of your father have excelled the blessings of my ancestors to the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph. Yes, those great blessings were to be upon the head of Joseph. Sometimes we sing in our national songs sometimes, God Bless America, from sea to shining sea, all the way from the Atlantic to the Pacific Ocean we have in the United States, we have in Canada. Australia has that vast continent. The great natural wealth of our peoples has been out of proportion to other peoples on the earth in a tremendous way. We've been called the breadbasket of the earth, the United States, Canada, Australia, and certainly New Zealand and South Africa have been very, very greatly blessed. God has kept the promise He made to our ancestors upon the Anglo-Saxon Celtic peoples of America, Britain, and the British descended peoples. We have been blessed, but we have not honored the great Creator God who gave us these blessings. We have not. Our crime rate is awful. Our young people are heavily involved in alcoholism. They're involved in drug use, and increasingly so, and crime. The young people are now the in-your-face generation, and they seem to be getting worse. And illicit and perverted sex is on the upswing in our nations. We have lost our way, my friends. What does God say about that? Notice how He warned our forefathers about what was going to happen. Not what might happen, but what was going to happen, unless we deeply, fervently repented as a nation. And we've not done that at all. And frankly, the indication of the way things are going, we're not going to do that. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 4, and in verse 25, after describing the blessings that our forefathers were to inherit, Moses, the servant of the God, warned this. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 25. When you beget children and grandchildren, he told our forefathers, and have grown old in the land, yet we've been in the United States now over 200 years, act corruptly and make carved images or anything, or the form of anything, and we have our images, don't we? Literal images in our churches that are not really God at all. We have pictures of God. God, you can't be put in a picture frame. But most of all, we worship our material wealth, don't we? Our cars, our televisions, our big houses, our swimming pools, and all the things we have in this nation. And we put that ahead of God. That was pretty well illustrated recently in some events here in the United States, how people are glad because of the wealth of our nation. And they don't want to do anything that would change that. I will call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, God says through Moses, that you will soon utterly perish if you do that from the land that I gave you to possess. And you will not prolong your days in it, but will be utterly destroyed. And the Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and that you will be left few in number among the nations where the Lord will drive you. You will be scattered. You will be taken into a national captivity. Moses is definitely prophesying. And there you will serve the gods, the work of men's hands. And he said, but in verse 29, from there you will seek the eternal, your God, and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. That's the whole thing, my friends. We've got to learn to seek the great God of Abraham, the God of creation, the God that made us and gives us life and breath, with all of our heart and with all of our soul. And we've not learned to do that. God is not real to most people in our lands today. He just isn't. When you're in distress and all these things come upon you, when? God says, in the latter days. The latter days. That's us. That's now, my friends. These things are going to come on us, and we need to recognize this fact. Then so God warns us about what is going to occur. Let's notice now the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 4. Now these are the words the Eternal spoke concerning Israel and Judah. He didn't say Israel and Israel, and he's not just talking about the Jews, because one of the 12 tribes was named Judah, and that refers to the Jewish people, who are wonderful people whom we should love and do love. But they had 11 brothers, 11 other nations. Judah and Benjamin went off and became the house of Judah at one point in ancient history, and the other 10 tribes stayed as a separate people, and they're called the house of Israel. And the house of Israel and the house of Judah had war after war, Israel fighting Judah and Judah fighting Israel. And that's something most Americans don't understand. Most Christians just think Israel means Jew and Jew means Israel, and it does not. All Californians are Americans, that's right, but not all Americans are Californians. Do you see the point? All Jews are Israelites, but not all Israelites are Jews. So he speaks here in Jeremiah, years after Israel's first captivity, about a coming captivity on Israel and Judah, both of us being punished together at the same time. Thus says the Eternal, we've heard a voice of trembling, of fear and not of peace. He describes every man bent over in terror. He says, verse 7, alas, for that day is great, this time of national trouble on us, so that none is like it. No time on earth has been like the time that's going to come on us. None is like it. It is the time of what? The trouble on China? The trouble on Russia? No. It is the time of Jacob's trouble. And Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Israel. That is us. The 10 tribes of Israel at the end of this age, the latter days. The time of Jacob's trouble is just about on us, and we need to understand, you need to understand, to grasp the world events that are beginning to unfold around you. But he shall be saved out of it. Yes, Israel will be saved out of it, but boy, does he get into it first. A time of national chastisement, a time of national punishment to humble us and make us be willing to turn back again to God. But he shall be saved out of it, for it shall come to pass in that day, says the Eternal, I will break his yoke. A yoke means a yoke of slavery. That's what we're going into, a national slavery. I know that's hard to grasp. That's what God says. That's not my opinion. You're going to see that happen unless we repent in a profound way. And turn not just back to our normal Sunday go-to-meeting religion, which most even in America don't even do that, and certainly not Britain and Canada, but get back to the true religion of God Almighty, the Creator, and obey Him and keep His commandments and have the true Jesus Christ living His life in us. I will burst your bonds of slavery. Foreigners shall no more enslave them, but they shall serve the Eternal their God. And, interestingly, notice, David their king, whom I will raise up for them. When is this going to happen? It's going to happen at the resurrection from the dead, when King David of Israel rises up once again. That is what is going to happen. God is going to bring a great national chastisement on our peoples, such as we have never even begun to experience, unless we repent. Why is He going to do this? Well, God says back here in verse 14, all your lovers have forgotten you, your national allies. We've tried to buy friends. They do not seek you, for I have wounded you with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of your iniquities. That's why these things are coming on us, because of our sins, our rising sins, getting worse and worse, the multitude of your iniquities. Because, here it is, here's why, because your sins have increased. Why do you cry about your affliction? Your sorrow is incurable, God says, because of the multitude of your iniquities. Because your sins have increased, I've done these things to you. So He repeats it twice. So we need to understand what God Almighty says and begin to turn to God individually. We probably won't nationally, but individually. So learn to do that yourself. Think about it. And again, be sure to call or write immediately for your free copy of our powerful brand new booklet entitled What's Ahead for America and Britain. This will give you the whole story. This inspiring booklet will really open your eyes, it will, to the prophetic events that are beginning to occur. Yet this booklet will be sent absolutely free upon your request. So call or write immediately and request your booklet, the free booklet, What's Ahead for America and Britain.
This informative booklet is offered to you absolutely free without any cost or obligation if you call 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or write to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. That phone number again is 1-800-934-5579.
And tune in to Tomorrow's World every week at this same time. Richard Ames and I will explain current prophetic happenings and also help you understand the real meaning of life, things you have never understood before. So tune in right here next week.
Don't miss this important booklet. Call 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or write to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. Be sure to visit our webpage at www.tomorrowsworld.org. That address once again is www.tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program is produced by the Living Church of God.